Good morning. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. I'm Janine, and this is Get the Funk Out. Hope your Wednesday is off to a great start. If you're not familiar with my show, I've actually been doing the show since 2011. You can find out more by visiting the show blog, which is getthefunkoutshow.kuci.org. And pretty much every guest that I've ever had on the show is on there, even through the pandemic. I did a lot of conversations on Zoom, and they were really fun, actually. And if you're not familiar with our station, we have an eclectic mix of shows, from public affairs to music shows, and you can find out more by visiting kuci.org. And we are on socials at KUCI-FM. So my first guest, really excited to bring her on, is Armita Jamshidi. She is founder of Aunt Flo's Kitchen, a company run by women for women. She's also a student at Cornell University, where she studies women's health and computer science as she builds Aunt Flo's Kitchen. I'm going to tell you a little bit about her, and then I will bring her on. So she started this first product called Cramp Bites. It's designed to nutritionally help with menstrual cramps. And this is incredible. She did a whole clinical research study and found that traditional Middle Eastern medicine was really helping her as well as other people. She's a junior, like I said, at Cornell, and she studies women's health, computer science, and she's building Aunt Flo's Kitchen as we speak. And they are currently selling online and in various retailers. But she has a really interesting backstory about why this all came about and why she was passionate about this. So she is joining us right now. Good morning.
Hi, Janine. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for calling in. This is great.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, I had read about your story and I thought, how many students while in college will launch a business, do all this research, do these clinical trials? I was really fascinated, and that's why I reached out.
Thank you so much. No, it's not as bad as you think. It's not as difficult as you think. Definitely a struggle for me, but it's a good amount of students here at Cornell who are doing the same thing.
I was going to say, do you find that the busier you are, the more successful you are at times in those different things?
That's so interesting you say that, because that's exactly it. It's like every time I'm on break and I'm working on the business, it's like I get half as much done as when I'm in school and I'm constantly stressed out.
I know. Isn't that strange?
Yeah. I don't know what it is. Just something about having my back against the wall. It really works out.
I know. I'm actually the same way. I wasn't like that when I was younger, but I think I am now. So I want to dive in and ask you to share with us, you know, the backstory, how this all came about. I know it was a personal journey for you.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much. So I've had period cramps for 7-8 years, just terrible, excruciating cramps. And before college, my mom and my grandma would always make these, like, kind of like, if you can imagine those energy bowls, but they kind of have a more like a Middle Eastern Mediterranean flavor. Mm-hmm. They would make that for me, and it always helped with my period cramps. But when I got to college, I no longer had access to, like, Middle Eastern grocers to buy the ingredients. So in turn, I just, like, sucked up my period cramps, which is not a good idea. But, you know, you got to do what you gotta do.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it turns out my sophomore year, the day before classes start, I fell unconscious due to the extremity of my cramps. Mm-hmm. And I was transported to the emergency room. It was a terrible experience. I was actually never seen, which is really interesting. I waited for 6 or 7 hours.
What?
But So that's like more of a structural, like, healthcare policy type of thing. But essentially, they have a priority list, and I guess like cramping is just at the very bottom. I'm not sure. That's for another story.
I was gonna say, unconscious girl, severe cramps, extremely pale. And you were in there 6 or 7 hours and you left.
And because after about like 6 hours, it started getting a little better. And I was like, honestly, and the lady herself was like, you're probably not going to get seen today. And I was like, well, why am I sitting here?
Exactly. Why am I sitting here? Yeah.
Yeah.
When you first tried this, you know, these ingredients, did you like it? Did you like the way it tasted? Or did you think, oh, is this really going to work?
I really like the flavor. So I actually also really, I have a lot of cravings around my period too. And so I would eat ice cream and like sugary sweets.
Yes.
But the issue is that added sugar can heighten menstrual symptoms. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of like a way for me to find a different sweet that can like not cause detriment to my cramps, which is really nice.
I know. Yeah. I remember doing the same thing, actually worse. Lots of junk food growing up, lots of different things. And then later on, I read that you shouldn't feed those cravings because it actually makes you feel worse.
Yes, exactly. Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So how did this all come about, this whole business, Cramp Bites?
Yeah. So it was my freshman summer. I got accepted into this program at Cornell that would fund me to do research over the summer. So I was really interested by this like snack that my grandma would make. So I did like a small scale trial here at Cornell. And we've had some pretty good results. And then I didn't really think anything of it. But then my sophomore year after I went to the hospital, I was like, that was terrible. I don't want anyone to ever go through that again. And so that's when I seriously was considering, you know, should I pursue this as a business? I had been in the Woman Entrepreneurship Program like my freshman year, the year before. And so it was like just an idea, but I didn't really think anything of it. Yeah. But it was really after I went to the hospital that I was like, wow, okay, maybe I should really consider this.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Your grandmother must be so proud of you.
See, it's funny people say that because she's mainly in Iran. Sometimes she comes to the U.S.
Okay.
But you know, when I tell her, she's like, so are you going to become a doctor or a lawyer? And I'm like trying to explain it to her.
That's so funny. A doctor or a lawyer, that's it for you.
Yeah, exactly. And so I'm like both. I'm going to be both grandma.
That's
but,
so cute.
No, she is very proud. It's just,
I bet. As I'm sure your parents are. That's incredible.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Could you tell me a little bit about the clinical trials? I know all of this is on your website, antflowskitchen.com. But I thought, I was reading about this, and I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah. So our clinical trial, so we did a, so essentially we had our snack and then we had a placebo snack. Mm-hmm. And so we had, it was about 15, 20 participants, so very small scale. And we had half of our participants had the placebo, other half had the snack. And so they would eat about 2 or 3 balls starting 2 days before their next menstrual cycle. So there are actually two different types of period cramps. They're spasmodic and congestive. And congestive are kind of like deep, dull sort of aching cramps, whereas spasmodic are like really sharp pains.
Okay.
So congestive usually happens before your period. So that's why we had them start 2 days before and then 3 days into their period. So they would have either the placebo or our snack. We call it cramp bites. And it was really interesting. We found that participants who had our snack felt 75% better than those who had a placebo snack.
Wow.
And this was based on what's called like a visual analog scale. Mm-hmm. So it's essentially that like 1 to 10 happy to sad scale that you like saw at the doctor's when you were like 10 or 15 years old.
Yes.
Basically that, a little bit more nuanced, but basically that.
It's amazing. On the website, there's a picture. They're very pretty. What is the pink ingredient on them?
Yeah, so we have 3 flavors, rose, pistachio, and sesame. So the pink one is rose, and it's like actual real rose petals. So, some people don't like it. It tastes like a fragrant type of flavor, but yeah.
I bet the pistachio is really good, too.
Oh my gosh, that's their most popular one, and that's my favorite.
Wow, I love that you put grandma approved.
I try to find ways to, you know, keep the family recipe kind of cultural heritage in the business in whatever ways I can.
That's incredible. Yeah. So tell me about your team, because I know it's not just you.
Yeah. So it was just me for a while. And then last September, I was like, okay, it's getting really overwhelming. If I really also want to scale this, I need a team. So I have an incredible team of researchers, engineers. So we have one researcher who worked on our literature review. She's still here. Another one graduated last semester.
Okay.
We have another student who is going to try to work on a second clinical trial, like a larger clinical trial, either this summer or next year. And then we have an amazing designer and software engineer. So the beautiful website you see is their work, not mine.
It's great. It's really nice.
Yeah. And now the designer is working a lot more on like, what does our logo look like? What does the packaging look like? I think we're at a point where we need to scale to a co-packer. So we're really trying to figure out what packaging do we really want and like seriously want to commit to for at least a couple of years.
That's great. And the whole story of how this evolved is also on your website. What year did you start this?
So the actual business, like we launched last August, so August of 2023.
Okay.
And then the research started in May of 2022. Is that right? Yeah, May of 2022.
Okay.
And then we onboarded our team last September 2023.
That's amazing. Is it hard to juggle this? I know we started our conversation like this, but you've got school, you've got, you know, all these other commitments. You know, how do you fit this in the mix? Do you do this, you know, early morning?
Yeah. So honestly, it's continual work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Early morning is like the best thing. Like when I can wake up at 5 a.m., like actually yesterday I woke up at 5 a.m., literally best day ever. But
sure.
Last night I was like doing a pitch deck until midnight.
Whoa.
So I couldn't wake up this morning early. So it really goes back and forth. And like, it's kind of difficult. It depends on what my assignments are due, when I exam, things like that. So
yes.
It's honestly continually a work in progress.
It's amazing. I think it's great to become a young entrepreneur now because, you know, here you are at Cornell, and what a foundation. Where do you see this going?
So the plan is to work on it full-time after graduation, and the plan is hopefully to be in like national retailers. I want to work with companies to like have them provide it as a benefit to like their employees who
mm-hmm.
have period cramps. I also want to look into getting it covered by health insurance. So
wow.
It's a really like difficult area just because it's food. It's not medication.
Yes.
So I'm really doing a lot of research in like what health insurance covers, things like that, and
mm-hmm.
how to kind of get it in there, because a lot of people don't like taking medication. So,
right.
You know, how can health insurance accommodate for those types of people?
Yes.
Yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. It's mm-hmm. it's really exciting because right now you're in Ithaca, but, you know, you could expand this really anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully that's the plan.
That's the plan.
Yeah.
What was it like building this? What did it take a long time as far as, you know, finding your team and getting this all started?
Yeah. So I think what took the longest was actually building up the confidence to pursue it. So the research was done like May 2022, and then I went to the ER September of 2022, so right after the summer. But it was really interesting because that entire year, I guess year and a half, because even it stretched on to like last summer 2023, was that I was just debating, like, do I really want to do this? Am I qualified? Like, what am I going to do if I failed? All of these things. And I think a lot of that comes with being a female entrepreneur and also like being at Cornell. There's
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of paths that people go down, and that's totally fine. But I think especially for me, it's very difficult to kind of deviate and say, no, I want to do this. I want to make a change. This fulfills me. Like, this is the path I want to go down on. So I think once I committed to that, everything else kind of fell into place. And it was Cornell was a lot more supportive and a lot easier. It was a lot easier to kind of progress the business forward.
That's fantastic. And then at what point you were selected, you were one of 20 research studies selected to present at Cornell University's annual research symposium. At what point did that happen? Was that after September?
Yes, that was after the summer. So that was September 2022, I think, is when we got the notification. But I think it actually happened in October of 2022.
Okay. So right after you were in the ER.
Or this was the year before. That was right after the ER.
Wow.
Yeah.
That board on your website is really impressive, this whole study. Did you do this alone, this research, or did you have a team helping you?
Yeah. So it was mainly just me, which is why it was, you know, we couldn't accommodate the scale of like 80, 100 participants.
Mm-hmm.
I did have some advice from a professor here at Cornell who studies menstruation. So that was really, really helpful. But it was really just me. And it was it's called the Laidlaw Research Program, which helped with a lot with funding and somewhat with finding participants too. But yeah.
That's great. Really impressive.
Thank you so much. That's so sweet.
Amazing. Anything else you'd like to leave us with?
I don't believe so. I think that's pretty much it.
All right.
I guess something interesting, like a fun fact, is that 30% of the people who buy it are actually men, and they buy it for
Really?
themselves for pre and post-workout. Yeah,
What?
it's really interesting.
Wait, you got to dive into that. Tell me
Yeah.
more about that. Why is that? And how did they find
Yeah.
you?
Yeah. I'm not, so I think we disclose our ingredients. It's very, we're very open about it. And
Okay.
I think people also, like, dates are usually very often used for, like, more natural energy type of, substances, I guess. And so a lot of pre and post-workout, I guess, is a lot of chemicals and stuff in these powders and these drinks. So I think once people found out what was in it, a lot of men started buying it. And then I guess once one bought it and felt nice, the other one kind of got the recommendation and started buying it too. So we have a lot of couples come into, like, retailers, and, like, they'll buy two, like, one for the guy and one for the girl. So it's really interesting.
That is so interesting. And look how the word spread.
Yeah, no, for sure. Word of mouth has been huge.
That's amazing.
Referrals, enormous. But yeah.
I noticed you have a section, product questions, that, and I was going to ask this earlier. So people should take these on an empty stomach.
Ideally, yes.
Okay.
Like morning, a lot of people have morning cramps, so, like, morning cramps.
Okay.
Just because to absorb the nutrients, it's like if your body doesn't have any nutrients in it kind of already, then it's easier to absorb and faster to absorb. That's kind of the thought process we have.
Sure. And what are the ingredients or some of the ingredients?
Yeah. So the base is dates, walnuts, and tahini. Kind of Middle Eastern base, but the actual spices, it's just an array of Middle Eastern spices. There's a ton of them. But yeah, so we actually did our clinical trial, and that wasn't like saying this is a novel, ingredient, spice, things like that. It was
Right.
kind of just like a, like, I guess, check mark. There's a lot of research on the spices we use, and even in dates, walnuts, and tahini. There's a lot of research on that, and, like, having anti-inflammatory properties and, like, all these different
Definitely.
benefits. So it's kind of just like a way to, like, take my grandma's recipe, modify a little bit, make sure it aligns with research articles, and then do that small scale study as kind of like a check mark.
That's great. And the website is so nice.
Thank you. I'll pass that on to a software engineer.
Oh,
She does a great job.
it's so great. It's so eye-catching and the visuals and the video. Are you on Instagram or TikTok?
Yes, we are on Instagram at aunt.flo'skitchen and
Okay.
on TikTok at aunt.flo'skitchen. We
Okay.
actually we ask guys to try a period cramp simulator on TikTok. So if you like watching that,
That's
go ahead
so
and give it a
funny.
follow.
That's so, I know,
Yeah.
I want to see now the guys posting their TikToks about your products and working out.
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
That's
it's interesting
fantastic. Really interesting. And probably such a shock to
Yeah. Very.
you.
Not expecting that, but
I
it's
love it.
pleasant surprise.
Well, I want to thank you so much. One last question I do want to ask. Do you have advice for students and maybe the students here at UCI listening who are thinking about starting a business but they're hesitant?
I would say, one, I would say don't shy away from it. If you see a problem, then do a lot of customer discovery. Ask different people, like, if they have, not necessarily if they have that problem, but try to, like, provoke them to, like, see if they talk about that problem without, like, the bias of you bringing it up. And also, like, if you're really passionate about it, then I would say just go for it. Like, you're young, you can take risks, hopefully, if you have that ability. And yeah, find a community of entrepreneurs and get started.
Yeah, and it's a great way to post-pandemic connect and collaborate with other students. I don't know if you knew the people that are on your team or you just met them.
Yeah, so one of them was actually in the research program that I was in. That's a researcher.
Okay.
The other one of them was a friend of a friend, and the other two were actually random. I put out, like, a help wanted kind of sign around campus, and we had, like, a good amount of applicants, but they were just so passionate and had a lot of great work in this area already that I was like, I would love to have you on the team, and we're really lucky to have them.
I love it. And your parents help out with you, don't they?
Yeah, so for now, and this will probably end pretty soon, but for now they make the product in the commercial kitchen in North Carolina.
Okay.
And they ship it to me. I put, like, the finishing touches, kind of labels, bow ties, whatever it needs, and
Yes.
either get it to our retailers in Ithaca or I ship it out. But yeah, but that'll change. Right now we're max capacity, so
yeah, well,
shout
out to
into
them.
Yeah, exactly.
You
shout
have
out to them.
Fantastic parents. I love it.
No, for sure. Very grateful for them.
That's great. And so your website is auntflowskitchen.com and you are on socials. And I want to thank you so much for calling in. Congratulations on everything you're doing.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, I really enjoyed this. Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. If you missed any part of this conversation, I will have it up on the show blog within an hour after I wrap. I was speaking with Armita Jamshidi, founder of Aunt Flo's Kitchen, a company run by women for women. She's a student at Cornell University, where she is studying women's health and computer science as she's building Aunt Flo's Kitchen. This is a very inspiring conversation for anybody who is thinking about starting a business. You're a student here at UCI, or maybe you're not a student at UCI, but you're considering starting a business. And her whole process, again, if you missed any part of this, it'll be up on the show blog within an hour after I wrap. And there is her backstory on the show blog, as well as a link to auntflowskitchen.com. All right, I do want to share something with you. I went to this incredible event called the Gen Z Wellness Summit 2024, and it was just at UCLA a couple weeks ago. The theme was, we are all in this together. There were over 600 people at the Luskin Conference Center at UCLA, and it was so inspiring. This is why I'm sharing it with you, because there were so many conversations around social media and addiction and different issues regarding race, identity, gender, climate change, eating disorders, anxiety, depression, et cetera, et cetera. The event was curated and presented by the Teen Advisory Council of the Friends of the Semmel Institute for Neuroscience and Human Behavior at UCLA. And actress Lily Reinhart spoke openly about her lifelong struggle with her mental health in a very intimate conversation with Professor of Psychiatry and Anthropology, Dr. Helena Hansen. She's the interim director of the Semmel Institute. There were various artists and presenters and performers. And I share this with you because if you go to this website, you can watch every single video panel. And the panels aren't long. They're not even 30 minutes. They're 15, 20 minutes. And they're really powerful stuff about all kinds of issues that are going on right now with mental health and wellness and struggles with social media addiction and identity, everything. So here is the link. And if you cannot write this down or remember it, I'm going to put it up on my show blog later. But it is Friends of Semmel Institute, that's S-E-M-E-L Institute.org/Gen-Z-Wellness. So Friends of Semmel Institute.org /Gen-Z-Wellness. And on there are links to every single video that was taken. And again, it is so powerful. They had a lot of social media influencers there and people talking about everything from, like I said, social media to what it's like to sit in the shoes of someone who's Gen Z, like all of you students here at UCI. And one of the number one things that was mentioned is post-pandemic, people are still struggling with making meaningful connections. So this was a great opportunity to really come out and be together in a room, hear from people what they're going through, you know, similar struggles. It was fantastic. So I'll put that link on the show blog. We're going to take a little break and then I'll be back. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.